Get snacking and get cracking with a snack that packs a protein punch. Pistachios are known for their protein power, fiber, and better-for-you unsaturated fats for a combination that may help you keep feeling fuller longer. Wonderful Pistachios is a good source of protein with zero guilt. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. I love that they come in a variety of sizes and flavors, making this the perfect protein snack for any on-the-go adventure. Check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
Is mad. Happy Friday, everyone. Welcome back. This is the Flow Track Podcast. Flowtrackpodcast@gmail.com is our email address. My name is Kevin. His name is Gordon. We're going to talk U20s, Commonwealth Games. We will preview the Diamond League this weekend and the latest installment of Guess My PR. I will quiz Gordon to see if he can figure out one of our listeners' PRs. Stay tuned for that coming at the end of the show. Gordon, how are your Guess My PR skills? I would guess they're a little rusty. It's been a bit.
Yeah, I haven't been training. I'll be honest about that. I haven't been thinking about times. My conversion calculator is not with me in my, I can't do that quick mental math anymore, but there's no day better than today to get back on the horse. And that's what I'm going to do. Gonna go one for one on my Guess My PRs today, August 5th, and start a new streak. Time to start a new streak.
Well, this one has two videos with it and a lot of information, so I think you should be able to get it or get close to it.
Where I literally get to see the actual race, and I can just time it and be like, oh, he ran that fast.
He sends a portion of a race that you're gonna guess, and then he sends a full race at a shorter distance. So I think you'll be able to get it or get close. I'm putting a lot of pressure on you now.
Okay, I appreciate it.
Tomorrow, you're doing live pod after Salisa, correct? You want to tell people about that?
I mean, I am. Are you joining me, or is this a solo action?
Nope.
No, what are you doing?
They won their first round playoff game last night, so I'm happy to report they're into the second round. Takes place at the exact same time as the recap pod. I missed too many of the games in Eugene. Not missing any more games. So filling in for me will be none other than track expert Colt Joyce. Colt, come on down.
I'll be there.
Yeah, so after, I think the time scheduled, so this is a little bit of an earlier meet. So I think we're going to go live at 11 a.m. Central, I believe. Right?
Yep.
I mean, double check the time conversions, but right after the final race of the Diamond League tomorrow afternoon, we'll be live, recapping it all. We'll see if I have any bad takes or good takes, in my opinion, but we'll see. The last time I did a podcast by myself.
Yeah.
It got a little bit of an attention, so we'll see what happens.
I'm trying to find my – I don't have a trash can around here. Well, I'll have to have that for Monday. Okay. I did. I travel now with a trash can. It's part of being your podcast partner. You have to bring a trash can. Do you want to talk about Salisa now and what you're looking forward to, or do you want to do that after we do Commonwealth and
U20? Let's do a little bit of some of the news first.
News and results. Yeah. Let's start with U20s. U20s. We thought, Toboco was going to pull off the double, but he wasn't able to in the 200. He looked really good in the heats, but he got beat in the 200, a very close race. Blessing Afrifa of Israel goes 19.96. Toboco also timed at 19.96. Very small margin. Very close race. Afrifa, only 18 years old. His PB before the meet, Jordan, 20.52. And now he's a sub-20 guy. So we have two sub-20 athletes in this meet. Afrifa, I think he PR'd in, let's see, did he PR in every single round? He went 20.37. Yeah, he went 20.37, 20.17, and then 19.96. So set a personal best in every single round. Hey, it's fun to be 18, right? PR all the time. And he beats Tobogo.
Yeah, that's a wild progression, right? 20.3, 20.1, then 19.9. Kind of shows you what is possible when you have competition around you. Because clearly, you know, when you're 18 years old and he's running Israel and Kenya and a little bit of Germany race as well, you just run to win, right? You're not really thinking about your true potential. And then it takes having a world record holder in the U20 100 meters to be in your race to kind of push you to like a place you didn't think you could go. And we see that a lot in the 200, you know. I remember Christine Mboma, she came in with a lighter PB, and then all of a sudden you're running 21 fives and 21 sixes. And I think there's something about people who are kind of newer to the 200, whether it's new, they're new to the event, or they're just young and they haven't run it a lot, where they have these gigantic drops when the competition around them forces them to kind of up their game.
And Tobogo in the first round ran 19.99. So it only went 300s faster in the final. And to me, that's experience, I think, coming into play there. I think obviously he can go quicker. Afrifa, I think, you know, is a guy to watch moving forward. But for Tobogo, strength is at the 100, not the 200. But I think he's got more in the tank in the 200. I noticed he basically got passed in this race, the same spot on the track where he started celebrating in the 100. Like, this thing really tightened up with about 20 meters to go, and then Afrifa just got past him. But two guys to watch moving forward. There was a lot of Knighton and Tobogo comps after Tobogo ran the 9.91. I think Knighton has the 200, we could say, firmly. And then I think Tobogo you'd probably give the edge to in the 100 right now just because he looked so good. And Knighton is yet to break 10 seconds. But it's going to be exciting. Got a lot of 18, 19-year-olds running really, really fast times right now.
Yeah, it is exciting. And I'm happy that we have this meet because it allows you to kind of really focus in on the future, focus in on like who will be the stars in the next 2 to 3 years. Because you look at a lot of the stars from, you know, you can literally connect a lot of them to their breakout moments from their World Junior Championship win or big PB from that time. So, and you know, I never even heard of Blessing Afrifa. How do I say his last name?
Afrifa.
But now I do, and now I'm excited about this kid from Israel who is someone you're gonna have to consider when we go into 2023 because they ran that into a -1 headwind too. Like,
yeah.
I'm not sure what the time conversion is, but they're going to be 19.8 guys at least next year, in my opinion.
Do you want some recent podiums from World Juniors in the men's 200?
Yeah.
All right. I'll give you, because some of them it's like, whoa. And then other ones you're like, what happened to those guys? So 2021, Onwuzurike won it. Tobogo was silver. So obviously two guys who are still in the mix. 2018, I'm just doing men's 200. Jonah Efoloko, Charles Dobson, Eric Harrison. 2016, Michael Norman, Leo Talela, and then Nigel Ellis. So and Lyles won the 100 that year in 2016. So that worked out pretty well. Those two panned out, two gold medalists. And then 2014, Trentavis Friday, Divino Deduru, and then Michael O'Hara from Jamaica. In that race, the 100 was Kendall Williams and then Trayvon Bromell. And then 2012, Delano Williams, Aaron Ernest, Tyreek Hill.
Tyreek Hill. Mm-hmm. Yeah, about him. He's doing pretty good in Miami now.
You forgot about him? You definitely did not forget about Tyreek Hill. So, let's some names that went on and got a bunch of medals, and in Lyles' case, in the 100, obviously, went on and broke the American record in the 2. But also, it's not a guarantee. It's definitely not a guarantee, because if you're good at 18 and 19, it's not a sure thing. And running 19.9 is great, but in this era, running 19.9 is really not going to get you a medal.
No,
in a major championship. So there's a whole other level up to go. Gets you in some Diamond League races, that's for sure. All right. What else from U20s? Oh, women's 100. We didn't get a chance to talk about this. Tina Clayton of Jamaica, 10.95. Gordon, 10.95. She went well at champs, Penn, and then now World Juniors. So she looks to be like one to watch. Shanti Jackson in that race was third for the U.S. So she grabs a bronze medal. She ran like 11.15. And then between the two, Serena Cole of Jamaica, 11.14.
Tina Clayton's only 17 years old.
It is weird. The people, it's like juniors, and then they can do it again. Like, you kind of think, all right, this meets only every other year. There's only like 1 year when you should be able to do it, because you think the age difference is so large, or it matters so much at that age. 2 years is huge in your development. It's like, oh, they can come back again and do it again. Like Tobogo, I guess that was a little different because we had one in 2021 because it got postponed in 2020. But yeah, a super junior.
Super junior. I like that. Yeah, but 10.95, 17 years old, like, I mean, she still has a few more years before she's going to be relevant on the world stage, I think, because I think just it's hard to break through in the Jamaican. There's like three levels of greatness at the Jamaican level. And so she's probably going to be someone who's going to be a factor in maybe the 2025 range as opposed to the 2023 range, but.
It's good. The question is just, can
they got their farm system going?
Yeah. The question is just, you don't need to make huge improvements. It's like, can you just make modest improvements year over year to chip away at that time? Because much as 19.9 is not going to get you a medal, like 10.9, it's great. And it would make a lot of national teams. It would make most national teams. But in Jamaica, it doesn't look like it's going to get you. On the national teams in the near future. So, 10.8, 10.7 is where you need to be. But obviously, great start to her young career. Roisin Willis wins the women's 8. 1:59. Legit time for Willis. I feel like she's been running forever. Like, her season just never ended. Her and the other high schoolers out there, she's starting at Stanford in the fall, so it'll be fun to watch her adjustment. But she gets it done, 1:59. Wero of Switzerland second, and then Juliet Whitaker, someone else who's been running seemingly forever, gets the bronze with a 2 flat. But Willis gets the gold.
Yeah, what do you think Willis? I mean, you look at Willis and Whitaker, the two like star 800 meter U.S. runners in high school the past few years. They both have running the sub-2 range. Do you think they're going to be ready to take the next leap to challenge the big three of Ajay, Raven, and Athing? Or do you think they're going to still be a year away from being a year away? Because it's really hard. Like, 159 is great, but like, you got to be a 157, 156 type athlete, I think, now in the U.S. to be top three.
Yeah, I think you answered your own question. I think 2024 would be where that happens, because the 800 is an event too where rounds really matter in the championship, and I think it's just tough on your first go round to get that done. I mean, we saw 2019. It's weird to think about this. I think Mo didn't make the team in 2019. Now, she was super duper young, but it took her a year to get it going fully, and then she was off the races, and now she's winning gold medals all the time. But I would look more to the 2024 range. I think college is going to help with that because they're going to get a lot of experience running in rounds, in championship-type races.
Willis is going to Stanford?
And Whitaker.
Whitaker's, they're both going to Stanford?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. It's going to be a hell of a 4x8. He's going to get two more.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wonder if Clark's going to make them run cross country.
Always the cross country angle.
I mean, I hated it. I was an 800 meter guy coming into college, and my coach made me run cross country freshman year. It's like just a punishment. The sport's a punishment for you. Doesn't make sense.
All right, let's see. I think that was pretty much it on U20. We'll go to Commonwealth in a second. Let's see. Let's go over the chat real quick. Shout out to Ken. Give us some money. Thank you, Ken. Someone says, Tina Clayton is exceptional in the 100, as is listed in the 200. Anthony says, what you guys talking about? A junior running 19.9 is superb. Knighton is an outlier. No other juniors are running such sub-20 times. Yeah, 100%. All I'm saying, though, in today's era, like 19.9 doesn't get you what it used to get you. So the depth, you know, especially, well, these two guys weren't U.S. athletes, but on the U.S. side, the expectation goes up. So, but yeah, having two sub-20 guys is a crazy outlier. So maybe both of them will pan out, but you know, you can never be too sure with the junior marks. Let's see. All right. Oh, someone says also Sophia Gororian. Yep. Yeah, it's...
Oh, yeah, I forgot about her. There's the third, yeah.
Yeah. It's just a rotating cast of really fast high school girls 800 meter running. Commonwealth, we had some hundreds. Omanyala, 10.02. Thompson Rod, 10.96. That track's not fast. We know the track of Birmingham's not fast, so I wouldn't look too much at the times. I was looking more at the margins. But what do you think of Omanyala and Thompson Rod winning?
I mean, they should have won, right? They were the best. There was no one to compete against them. They were just running to, I don't know, like it kind of just seems like a glorified practice before they, you know, seems like a glorified way to just like rinse off the expectations and the pressure and the buildup of worlds. So you kind of get like a new like preseason type competition before you go into the Diamond League circuit to kind of peak for that Diamond League final. It seemed like a kind of a reset race for some of the top athletes, notably Thompson Hurrah and Omanyala.
Well, I think it's two different things for two different people. Omanyala obviously running after having dealt a just incredibly difficult hand, to say the least, at Worlds. I don't know what he would have done if he was there in the appropriate amount of time. He would have run better. I don't know how much better. Who knows, right? He didn't make it through the final. Maybe he's able to make it through the final, but we'll never know. Thompson Hurrah, I was just surprised that she ran this race, and I think it was a victory that she was even there because 100, she gets the medal. 200, she was out of it. She had talked about injuries early in the season. I thought maybe that was it. And this wasn't 2021 Thompson Hurrah because you would have seen a huge margin of victory. I mean, she won and she beat Jillian Alfred, but it wasn't a huge gap back there. So she seems to be in a similar spot to where she was at the World Championships. And the fact that she was running, I think it's just a good sign in terms of her health. And maybe it does mean you're right. Maybe we are going to see a postseason from her. Because you never know who's going to keep running and who's going to just stop all of a sudden.
Here's a question for you. This may be a taboo question. Maybe I'm being disrespectful for even contemplating it. But will Elaine Thompson Hurrah ever run as fast as she ran in 2021? Again.
That's a pretty high bar. I mean, I don't think it's not a disrespectful question to ask because She ran 10:54. So it's basically you're asking, is she going to break the world record? Because there's not much room between the two. I guess she could weave it in.
Maybe will she ever run? Will she run like 10:59 again?
I tend to say no. Like I would say no. But then again, it's like you asked me, will Sydney ever run as fast as she did in Tokyo? I would have said no. And she did by a huge margin. Will Warholm ever run? Will anybody in this era of men's formula hurdling run faster than Warholm?
Do you think Elaine
Dos Santos on Saturday could break the world record, and is anybody going to be surprised?
Do you think Elaine Thompson Rahl will ever win a global gold again?
A global gold. Olympics or World Championships? Well, Olympics are her jam. World Championships haven't worked out that well for her, and we have a World Championships. Yeah, I think she will win a global gold, but I think her PB in the 100 will stay at 10:54. How about that?
I'm going to go with she will never win a global individual gold again. I think she'll win medals, but I don't think she's ever going to win gold again.
Well, she's younger than Shelly Ann. There's Sharika who's there. But then there definitely is a gap, wouldn't you say, between that trio and everybody else?
There's a gap, but so there's going to be new people that come up that, you know.
Yeah, yeah, but you're talking about 23. You're talking about 2023, 24, 25.
Yeah.
There's a three-year stretch. That's
the only, so.
Where she'll have six opportunities. You're talking about individual events, of course. So yes. She'll have six opportunities in the one and the two to get it. I think she'll get at least one during that time. Don't know what
does she have six? I feel like she really only has three opportunities because she ain't winning the 200 now. 200's just too good.
Well, she's been pretty good at the 200 too.
I know, but like, yeah, last year. But like,
it was literally a year ago. She ran 21:53. Yeah, Jackson is in front of her in the 200, and Jackson's in front of her in the 100.
Boma's going to be added to the list. You have Gabby Thomas is going to be added to the list. All the other women who ran this year well are continuing to be on the list. Like, it's only getting the 200's harder than the 100 right now, depth-wise. I really think she only has three opportunities. I don't think she's winning gold in the 200 for sure. If anything, it's going to be in 100, and it's going to be in 100 where Shelly Ann says, I don't want to run. So, like, I don't know.
I think you're forgetting how quickly this stuff changes. Last year, we said the exact opposite. Because it was Elaine who was winning all the gold medals, and then it was Elaine post Olympics who was running 10:05. So this thing could swing back really quickly. So I think she's going to get a gold. I just don't think we're going to see the conditions line up perfectly and the meet set itself up perfectly for a 10:54 again. But I think she'll win another gold. Not much has to change. She's already in the mix. She's not out of it.
Over under. Global golds for Elaine Thompson Hurrah, 1.5.
Well, you should have said it at 0.5 because you said no.
No, because if I did 0.5, you would just say it over. And then, like, the conversation.
I'm still going to go over. I'm still going to go over.
Get two, at least two. She can get two more.
Yeah. How old?
I'll make that bet with you.
1.5. She's 30 years old. Yeah, I'll say over 1.5. Book it.
I'm taking the under.
Book it.
What's the chat thing?
Well, all in the game says beware of recency bias, Gordon. Yes, exactly. That's what I was going to say. Tampa Eagle says under. Anthony says Tamara Davis will be the spoiler. AMM says, I do think Shelly repeats next year, though. She'll have the bye again. AJT says, to be honest, I don't get the point of this question. LOL. I don't know if he's talking about your question. Colleen says, it'll be from Jamaica again. Well, yeah. Zen says, don't with the bad takes again. There will be a new song. Listen, we're just trying to predict what's going to happen. It's not a bad question to ask.
I think it's a she was the fastest woman in the world last year. No ifs, ands, or
That's
you have to look at what happened in 2022 and be like, I kind of didn't see it being like this. I didn't see her getting zero golds in 2022. You know, kind of not being in it in the 200. You know,
but that's literally what happened in 2019. That's literally what happened in 2019. We've seen this movie before, and then she bounces back.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. There is recency bias. Or as Tiara says, dude, you switch up so quickly. LOL. Be patient in your predictions. You don't have to always make hot takes. LMAO. I agree.
He's the Stephen A. Smith of track. Let him have it.
He's been watching track for a decade and a month, guys.
God damn it. I'm watching track more than a decade.
Well, but you're acting like you're acting like you have one or 2 months worth of knowledge here when you're just saying there's no way she's going to come back. We've literally seen her come back from a disappointing championship performance and getting it together.
And I agree. I know she was great in 2016. She was great in 2021. I get it. But what I'm saying is, like, it doesn't last forever. There's an end point, and maybe that end point happened and we didn't know it. We weren't able to appreciate that we actually saw the end of the climb, you know? I know, you know, some people thought Tom Brady's end point was when he was 31 and he continued on for another 10 years of being great. So sometimes you fail at predicting the end points, but I think it's a fair question to want to know, like, seeing the depth of the women's 200 internationally, knowing that Shelly Ann is still being Shelly Ann, and knowing that, like, she's not having that great of a year this year, you kind of, like, start thinking, like, wait, was the greatest runner we've ever seen last year, was that it for it? Like, that's a question that I think about. Maybe I'm the only one on earth thinking it, though.
Do you think the 200 was good last year?
Yeah.
Okay, and who won?
She did.
Yeah, so she can do it. She's done it before. Sharika Jackson and Shelly Ann, like, they're not, like, at the beginning of their career, right, either. So it's not like any of these people are like, oh my gosh, there's this emergent force coming up that's going to dominate for sure the next, like, 5 to 10 years. And you throw in the injuries can happen and unpredictable things can happen. I think, you know, in one of these three championships, she's going to get it right and things are going to break that way again. And she doesn't need to run 10:54 to do it. She just needs to get back some of the form that she had in the Olympic year. And if it was injuries this year, it was injuries. I just think the fact that she's running Commonwealth is, like, a good sign, because I think if you were going to be cautious, even a little bit cautious, the first meet you'd miss would be Commonwealth Games. Because that just seems
England.
Well, that's just how professional. That's just how professional. There were 9 guys in the 10,000. 9. That's it. That's just how professional track athletes think. I mean, maybe some people are valuing a lot, putting a lot of weight on it. But usually, if you're playing it safe or you're worried about an injury, that's the first thing that you're going to cut. You'd put your energy on the Diamond League.
Okay.
Jermaine says you're a prisoner of the moment. That's also another good one. Recency bias, prisoner of the moment.
Who
getting
is it?
It all.
We all love to live in the moment.
Someone says one thing about Gordon, he's going to shoot off bad takes and lose money. Crying emoji, crying emoji, crying emoji, crying emoji.
I didn't lose money this year. Made $600. So.
See? So things can change year to year is what you're saying, because you lost money at the Olympics. And then you're able to bounce
back. I lost $277 at the Olympics. I made $600, so I'm up lifetime over 2 years.
Right. That's my point. 1 year doesn't tell the whole story. All right.
All right.
That was it. Diamond League. Saturday.
Diamond League.
Yeah.
It's back.
Go ahead.
Are there certain events that...
I'm
going to be recapping. So maybe you do the preview one. If we're going to tag team this together, you preview it, I recap it.
Okay, so I got different groups of athletes that I'm watching for different reasons. So I'm going to bounce around. Actually, I shouldn't do that. I should just go event by event, because that'll make it harder for you to make a clip. I was going to be very artistic. I was going to be very artistic and be like,
no, be artistic. I don't care about the clip. Just be artistic. These clips are going to be old news in less than 24 hours. So just be artistic.
Okay. So you got like someone like Mondo, right? And they're in this, they already have the world record. They're the clear favorite. It's just like, all right, what's motivating Mondo? Like he's in a separate category. But then you have people like Sharika Jackson and Allison Dos Santos who won gold, but also are probably interested in moving up the all-time list. Now, it'll be a very tall order because they both ran very fast in Eugene, and it's going to take the conditions being right and everything like that. But you can at least see, all right, maybe there's some motivation there. Maybe Dos Santos, he doesn't celebrate early this time. Does he think he can move to number two all-time and pass Rye Benjamin? Dare he take a shot at sub 46? Again, that's a really tall order, but it is at least is something to motivate him in this post-world championship setup. Same thing with Jackson in the 200. That 200, pretty good field there. You know, running faster than 21.4 is a very tall order. But again, when we saw what Thompson Hurrah and Fraser Price did last year post-Olympics, I'm not going to take anything off the table. So that's another group of athletes. A third group of athletes I'm looking forward to is sort of the avenging world championship performance group, right? So who's in that group? You know, you look at someone like Christian Coleman in the men's 100. He's going against Bracey and Bromell, the two medalists from the 100. So he's motivated to run that race. You look at Ajay Wilson and Raven Rogers in the women's 800. They're motivated to run that race. Men's 800. Pretty much everybody but Emmanuel Carrier has something to prove because it's the men's 800, right? Be it an American who didn't get out of, like Bryce Hopple, who struggled in Eugene, had some bad luck, or non-Americans who just haven't had the season that they've wanted. So that's one group. Then, I mean, the women's two, to me, is just the best event. And I think it's interesting. You put Jackson aside, but then you also have Miller Weibo, who's going to be moving back to the event, and Gabby Thomas, who got hurt at USA's and didn't run. So I'm just interested to see what they have in the 200, because that could be this could be the future of the 200, at least next year or the year after. And then, of course, you have Fraser Price in the 100. That sort of stands alone as an interesting event in and of itself. So.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about Shawnee Miller Weibo back in the 200. That adds to my Elaine Thompson-Ross gold medal count prediction.
Anyway, yep.
Aside, not to go back to the previous segment, but yeah, this woman's 100s can be interesting. Fraser Price. Excuse me. Dude, I've been coughing nonstop for like 2 weeks. You think I have COVID?
Probably take a test, but go ahead. Keep going. All right, Gordon's still coughing. So here's the 100. Fraser Price, Hobbs, Jefferson, Luckenkemper, Morrison, Tolu, Terry White, and Williams. So Fraser Price, the big favorite here. But a lot of American entrants here. We just saw Tanisha Cherry run 10-8. You know, can she do that going up against Fraser Price? Aaliyah Hobbs. You know, we might have seen her. We saw in the first round of the relay, but not in the finals of the relay. She made the 100 final. Jefferson as well. Like that whole U.S. contingent looks pretty strong across the board. But I think this is going to end up being Fraser Price against the clock. Can she drop another 10-6? It seems like that's too much to ask post-world championships. But I also just feel like we constantly see Fraser Price exceed expectations in races like this.
Yeah. And it's also, you know, we have to remember there's the first race back off of a long flight type situation, right? Where typically everyone's European debut is always kind of a little iffy. And then the second race or third race, once they're on the circuit again, is when they start popping the fast times. Like, I honestly think it's kind of interesting. Typically there's like a continental tour before the Diamond League, but it's kind of swapped this way, situation. Cause there's a continental tour on Sunday. Is it Sunday?
I think it's Sunday or Monday, isn't it?
Sunday or Monday. I think it's 2 days later, which is live on Flowtrack. Check it out. a lot of the stars who are running in this Diamond League are going to be running in the Continental Tour a few days later, which will be interesting because that might end up being the race where, you know, we actually see them run to their full potential. They run on Monday, and I will not say the name of this place. Where is this on Monday? Can you name that?
Székesfehérvár in Hungary.
Székesfehérvár. So yeah, I looked.
I
at
think
the
you're
start
right
list there. So
it could take a race or two, but I think we'll see something fast from somebody. Again, expecting Dos Santos to go run 45.9 in that race with no Warholm, no Benjamin is a bit much. But I'm just not taking anything completely off the table after what we saw from him and Eugene, or really this entire season. What about the men's quarter with Norman? Karani James is in there, Champion Allison as well. What do you expect Norman to run?
That's an interesting one.
Because he is listed as running the second leg in the Nike versus Adidas 4x1 that you made up. So he's got to get ready for a fictitious race later on in the summer.
Very funny. If you look at the comments, there were a lot of pro Gordon side of the argument.
I know. We already went down this road. Yeah.
I'm not alone. That's all I got to say about that. I don't know what we can expect because the 400, it's a weird one where you don't really put it all out there that often. You know, you kind of want to peak for your championship races because, you know, you got three rounds and you kind of, a lot of times you just kind of create a flat line of like, all right, just run 44 mids throughout the season and then I prepare for my big 43 when it matters most. So I don't think we're going to get a crazy big 43 as much as it would be great because this is a good field for it to happen. All the Americans are in there. Karani James is there. It's kind of set up to be a 43 type race, but I'm kind of worried that, I mean, what's the weather like? That's actually the biggest factor, I think.
Let's go to our weather correspondent who has a lot of Eastern European knowledge, Colt Joyce, who's over in the Weather Central booth for the Flow Track podcast. Colt,
Salisa,
what can we expect to
Birmingham.
See in Salisa? Yeah, that's in Birmingham, Alabama. Where is, what are you doing, Colt? You're in the wrong. Get the weather chopper over to Poland.
Salisa, I haven't Poland. Looked at How do you spell it?
Come on, Colt.
Just figure,
come on.
Google will tell you. Google will
I'm
tell
trying,
you.
I'm trying, I'm trying. Give me a sec.
Just show the people your screen right now. Show the process.
L. Yeah.
S-I-L-E-S-I-A. S-I-L-E-S-I-A. Yeah, Poland.
There we go.
Yeah, there it is. Yeah, there Poland.
Whoa.
There we go.
All right. Uh-oh. Saturday.
Rain.
It's like rain. Show them the screen, Colt. Let's see. Break this weather down for us, Colt. You have a degree in meteorology, correct?
Oh, that's right, folks. All right. So looking at our Saturday weather here, it looks like we do have pretty decent chance of precipitation. It looks like we'll be 85 to 88% chance of rain during the event.
But the rain will be done by the time the meet goes off because it's like a late afternoon meet. So
I'm looking at my time zone, not Poland time zone. That's my fault.
Oh, okay. So your time zone, so there will be rain right smack in the middle. So it's not going to be fast. We're going to see like a 45-0.
Hey, let's leave that to Colt, please. Colt, will it be – leave it to the – you're not a meteorologist. Colt, will it be fast?
That'll be a 43 low coming in.
No.
Ooh.
That's not what's going to happen.
Yes, I love it. Clip this. No, man. If there's precipitation, humidity – the air gets less dense. They run faster. You're right, Colt.
Slipstream.
Think about Des Moines, 2019. The rain stopped. Dylan Muhammad broke the world record. Very, very astute analysis from Chief Flow Track Podcast Meteorological Correspondent Colt Joyce there. He definitely wants, like, Norman, He got the gold, but I think he really also, I think he's getting tired of looking at 43-45 as being his PB. Just guessing.
He gets tired. He's like, oh, this is exhausting. Such an exhausting PB.
He's probably thinking Mount Sac was my best one ever. I think he wants something. He's looking at Lyles breaking the 200 American record. He's probably thinking, hey, I want that 400 American record. Not to say he's going to do it in this meet, although Colt is saying 43 low. But I think post-Worlds, he's got nothing to lose. I mean, his big mantra is always patience, patience, patience. You feel like if he throws everything out there, maybe he's got a shot. Because that World Championship race was just bizarrely slow.
Yeah.
For the men. You go back and watch that thing. That is a weird, there's not many weird 400 meter races. That was a weird 400 meter race. It was like six guys in it with 100 to go. Like, I thought Wade Van Niekerk was going to win gold for a second there. It was a bizarre race. But then he ran 43.5 at USA's, and he needed to because Champion Allison ran fast. And then he ran the 43.6 at pre. So with those two times in his back pocket, I think he's going to try to take a big swing at one of these meets. I just don't know when it's going to be.
I don't think it's going to be at this one. That's my preview.
All right. Great.
The official quarterback preview. Not fast. Not going to be fast.
All right. The other person, I didn't put her in a – I should have put her in a redemption, in the redemption box sort of with Coleman and Ajay Wilson, Raven Rogers. Stefan Hassan. Now, there was a reason why Stefan Hassan wasn't able to medal in the 5 or the 10, and that was just because – what did she start running 3 months before?
Yeah, 2 or 3 months.
The meet? Yeah, the meet. And she had that one tune-up race in Portland, and that was it. And was in the mix, didn't have her kick in either the 5 or the 10. She is scheduled to go in the 3000, and it's going to be a great race. Like, it's going to be, it's got some names in it. She's going to need to take that step up. So I'm curious to see, does she have that gear here? And if she does, I think people are going to be saying, all right, 2023, we could get the old Stefan Hassan back. Like the world champs in Eugene, that was just a blip on the radar based on her just starting her season late because her Olympic year was so stressful. So watch Stefan Hassan. I know you probably already were watching Stefan Hassan, but I want to see if she's got that extra gear now that she's got some races under her.
Yeah. Should be exciting. Nothing else for me to add.
It's just great, man. So great. That'll be exciting. That was good. And then this won't be the race where Michael Norman runs fast. You're contributing a lot today. I really appreciate it.
Doing my best, bro. I'm putting all my energy into the Guess My PR segment. That's what I'm doing. Saving all of
it. I thought you were gonna say you're saving it up for tomorrow when you do the recap. Oh, yeah. Like all your energy.
Well, tomorrow I'm hosting a party.
Here's my question. Yeah, we know that. We know that.
Did
here's
I tell
my
you
question.
The theme? Did I tell you the theme of the party?
Yes. You literally don't how old
podcast?
Are you, man?
Did I say this on the podcast?
Yes. Okay. Yes, people made fun of you because they said you're not allowed to go to your own party because you have to have a talent. We did all this. Here's my question, though. Are you going to go out of your way just to say something outrageous tomorrow on the recap podcast just because you're sort of
– No.
You're riding the high the Usain Bolt take. Okay.
No. Everything I say, I believe in the moment. I'm not – I'm being genuine. Like, I'm not putting on – I just – it's what I think. My brain is just different. Whatever.
Love no, it's fine. That's
care.
Fine.
But like, you know, I honestly think Elaine Thompson Hurrah might not win another gold medal. And I think that's kind of weird and interesting.
Yeah,
that's why I wanted to talk about it.
No, and that's fine. That's fine to have your opinion. That's the whole point of the show, to have opinions. I just didn't know if the Bolt thing changed you, because sometimes when people get, you know, touched with the brush of internet fame, it can alter who they are. And I don't know. And how they do their work. And I don't know if that happened to you. It probably would with me. I got to be honest. If it was my voice in that thing, I would just try. I would just be shooting my shot every single time.
Yeah.
Trying to capture it.
Going into bars and hacking into their Bluetooth and just playing the song and like the look in the music. So it's like, yo, listen to this.
Well, no, I would just keep trying. I'd say more stuff about Bolt every episode. That's what I would do to try to get him to do more stuff with my voice, basically. I go to the well way too much is what I'm saying. But you're saying you're not going to do that. You're going to call it straight up, basically.
Yeah, I mean, but if something happens, like if Marvin Bracy or Bromell or Blake or Coleman do something wild, I'm going to say it. I mean,
that's an important race for Coleman. I think that's actually an important race for Coleman.
That's true. The men's 100, because he should win that race. But Bromell and Bracy are good.
Well, no, I mean, he shouldn't win the race. He has a chance to win the race. He shouldn't win. I think it would be big if he did, because it shows just how he's turned it around. Look, go back last year. Lyles, post-Olympics, runs a 19.5 at Prix. Shifts everything for him, I think. Puts him back in the, okay, Lyles is there. The Olympics, that was a one-off. And then you saw what he did this year. Can Coleman do something similar? We'll see. We'll see. I mean, it would take a fast time, which I don't know if the conditions will allow it. Although, Cole, what's your forecast say for the 100? How fast for the 100?
I don't know. Probably like 9.5.
Colt wants to be in a music video. That's what that was.
I know. So, wait, say that again, Colt. He's going to break Usain Bolt's record?
I think Usain Bolt's record has less than 24 hours.
24 what? Tampa Eagle, Gordon, stop worrying about your party. Do your job. Subpod? ? What about a subpod from
the party? Should I do a late night pod?
Well, maybe the talent show thing? Well, if Colt shows up,
I could stream it.
We are thinking about, so the origin of the party is centered around my intramural soccer team, and everyone is inviting other people. So like we all know each other, but we all told each other like invite like 2 to 3 people that aren't friends with us. And so we're thinking about pranking everyone that we invite over by like pretending we're like in a cult or something. And like at like a certain time at the party, we all go upstairs and then like put on robes and like turn off the lights and start like chanting and freak out all of our friends. Do you think I should do that?
Yes.
All right. Time for Guess My PR, everyone's favorite segment.
Colt wants to come to the party now. Colt wants to come to the party.
You can email in. Email address flowtrackpodcast@gmail.com. Subject line, Guess My PR. This one's from KU, who sent in two videos. We're going to show these videos in a second. The video, one of them is from a 400 as part of a 4x4. The other one is from the 800. I'm going to have you guess the 800 on this one. All right. You're going to guess the 800. He sends in some other workouts, which I'll read right now. So you're going to guess his 800 PB. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
We can see the video?
Here we go. Well, no, not yet. I'm going to say the stuff first. Okay, you want to watch that? Okay, wait,
who is he?
Yeah.
Who
I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you all that. Hold on. Just let me read the workouts and watch the videos next.
Okay.
So workout one, 2x150 in 20 seconds. 2x300 in 44 seconds and 41 seconds. 150 in 17.9 seconds. Easy, he said. All right, workout two.
Wait, what were the 300s?
44 and 41. Workout two, 2x100 in 14 to 15 seconds, 15x200 in 30 seconds. Looks like it says 60 seconds.
15x200? 15 200s? 30 seconds?
Yeah, in 30 seconds.
That's a lot of 200s. 15.
Yeah, he says this felt controlled but not easy. And then this one's going to be the most useful, I think, because we're predicting 800s here. 5 sets of 600 plus 200, 2 minutes between reps and 4 minutes between sets. So 149 for a 600, then 31, 152, 29, 142, 31, 142, 29, 139, 27. Tough but not struggling. So obviously 130 for a 600 would be 2 minute pace. And he was 149, 152, 142, 142, 139. All right. So now we got these two races. He's in the blue. The first one is, is it the 4x4 that you have first here? Yeah. Okay. So you'll be able to see him. He's farther. You'll be able to see him soon. He's farther back right now. But he's running a leg. I'm not going to tell you his 4x4 split.
Is he in second right now?
He is, yes. He's in second right now. And he's going to close really well over the last 150.
Nice.
And you'll get a better shot here when he comes down the home stretch. Ooh, dramatic zoom out, zoom in. Oh, we're going out again. So this is his 4x4. Again, you're guessing his 800 meter PB. And he hands off right there. I'm not going to tell you the 400 split there. And the other one is his 800. This is just a much shorter clip of him running an 800. And there he is. Him.
He's in right last there. Right there?
He's
in last?
At the moment, he was in last.
The moment. Okay, finished.
All right. So, 800. I mean, I could say guess his 1600, but I felt like his 1600 is a little misleading. So, what's his 800 PB?
His 800 PB is 157. Am I right? Higher or lower?
205. 205. He said he closed in 60 seconds, though. Which makes me think.
Okay. He's going out too slow.
Faster.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's got, he says his.
What was his 4x4 split? Was that 50? It looked like he was running 50 seconds.
51.4 hand timed.
Okay.
Actually,
he can run 151. He can run 156.
51.9. Yeah, 51.9. His 1600 is apparently 5 flat, but he closed in a 65. He just likes to kick.
Yeah. Reminds me of me.
You can't close in 65 and run a 5 flat. You got to go out harder. You got to run the middle laps harder. You can't close in 65.
You got to go out. He has to go out in 58 seconds. Just do that and see what happens. Stop going out in 65. He's running like Dave Waddle.
Waddle was even, out. I think.
Well, if he runs Waddle at 205 and closes in 60, he's running 65-60. That's not
That's
even
what I'm saying.
All.
Yeah, yeah. No. I'm saying Waddle was even. Everybody else, I think, slowed down in that race. That's this true. Is like Waddle an extreme. This is a. We'll call this an extreme Waddle. The extreme Waddle move here. Yeah, go look at Dave Waddle's 800 Olympic championship race. Okay, so yeah. So what do you think? You said 57, 58.
Yeah, he should go out in 57, 58, and then hold on. And then think about how easy it is to run 63 seconds after on the second lap compared to having to run 60. It's like get an extra. And then all of a sudden you run too flat. So yeah, go out in 58, 57 and see what happens.
It's turned into an internet coach segment.
I know. Pivoted. But his PB is inaccurate. That's all I'm saying. He's faster than that. He just has yet to do it. So I'm actually correct. Because he can run sub 2. He can run 157, 158. He just has never forced himself to do it.
Yeah, it might take any more training.
He doesn't need any more training. He could run that tomorrow if he just decides to run the first half of the race correctly.
But it might take him a couple times because if you're used to negative splitting all the time, positive splitting can be an adjustment. It's a different twist. So. Yeah, I think you're right. Go out quicker. And if you're running a 1600 again, and you're closing in 65, I mean, what did he go out in? To finish in 5 flat, going out in 65? Like, I don't even know what his opening laps were. Go out in 72.
Don't even worry about the 1600. Retire from the 1600. Just go all in on the 800. Run some faster 4x4 splits. You'll be breaking 2 before you know it. Don't worry about the mile. That's for all the cross-country runners. Yeah. Don't be a cross-country runner. Be a mid-distance guy. 4.8. You're the next Emmanuel Correa. You're the next, what's the guy's name? The greatest to ever do
Slimani
it.
Slimani Mula? Slimani
no.
Mula?
Dominican, Cuban? The Cuban guy. The 4'8 guy. Who won the 4'8?
Oh, Alberto Wantarino.
Yeah. Be the next Alberto Wantarino.
Yeah.
He's not busy four running 1600s. Guy. He's running 4s and 8s. Yeah. That's what you got to do.
Yeah. Be a thing, Mo. All right, before we go... Let me check back in. Remember that email address, flowcheckpodcast@gmail.com. Guess my PR subject line. Checking in the chat. Ooh, a lot of talk about the men's 100 in Cilicia. You want to pick your order? You want to pick a top five? You got both Blakes there. You got Bracy, Bromell, Coleman, Eli Hall, Kyrie King, Sonny Brown, and Simbine. Good field.
Okay, here's my question. If I can correctly predict the exact order of the top five.
Yeah.
Would you come to my party?
You'll get 10% of the winnings. Yeah, when is the party?
7 o'clock Saturday night. But you come whenever time? After. No, you can show it up 8, 9, 10, whatever, when your kids are asleep.
You said Saturday night?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tomorrow night. Okay, so if I predict the top five order, exactly, you're coming. You can just come for 15 minutes and then leave. Just shake my hand
if you correctly,
and walk out.
If you correctly predict the top five, I'll be there.
Okay. So here we go. Top five order. I'm going to say winning the race is going to be, I think Bromell wins. I think Coleman second, Bracy third. I think I would say Johan fourth. And then I'll go Eli Hall fifth.
Picking against your favorite Blake.
I know, right? Well, I'm trying to get you to come to my party. So, okay. Bromell, Coleman, Bracy, Johan Blake, Eli Hall. That's the order.
Eli Hall. Okay. Bromell, Coleman, Bracy, Johan Blake, Eli Hall.
Yes.
I will be there if you get that right.
I'll see you.
Man of my word. But you got to understand, I'm really good at these bets where I have huge odds in my favor. My two world championship bets really paid off big time.
You did.
Didn't need any running. All right. Well, that's the show. Have a great Friday, everybody, and a great weekend. Again, Gordon will be doing a Cilicia Diamond League recap podcast starting immediately after the meet on Saturday. So if you want to hear Gordon's reactions, tune in to the YouTube channel. Or
if not,
if you are watching,
we'll see you Monday.
If not, don't tune in. All right. We will talk to you guys later. Thanks, Colt.
Peace.